I love my family, and I think that's what motivates me most to preach on the family and on the home. This morning, I had the privilege of preaching that service, and many people came to me afterward and said, "Pastor, I needed to hear that so bad." It encouraged me not to quit, several things like that. And tonight, I just want to preach along that same line, how to protect your children. Can we turn this up just a little bit, John? I don't hear myself up here. Maybe that's just a little bit up here. Exodus chapter 2, notice if you will in verse 1. Now this is just a review. I just want to refresh our memory from where we were this morning. "There went a man of the house of Levi and took a wife, a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months." Why? Because they were going to kill him. Because there was evil that surrounded them by the name of Pharaoh that said, "I want every male child of the Jewish race to be destroyed. I want there not to be anybody left of this seed eventually who will worship Jehovah. I do not want these people around me. I don't want their kids. I want them to eventually all die." That's why she did it. So the Bible says, "And when she could not longer hide him, she took from an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call thee his mom, a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said, 'That's a good idea. Go.' And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter and became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" Now, we looked today at the protection and the provision of an encouraging family with one purpose in mind. And we saw in Hebrews chapter 11, the amazing thing is that if Jochebed had only 5 years, the result is unbelievable. Now, you would think with 18 years, listen, that our children would be equally as unbelievable. You would think that with 18 years, if God would grant us that many years to be with our kids, that our kids would make a choice to identify with God's people. Can I have an amen? You'd think that. You'd think that after all that we have, including the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God, the opportunities here at our church, our Christian school, that after 18 years, our kids would say, "I choose to identify with God's people. I choose to separate from sin. I choose to believe that there is a better reward for me should I give myself completely to the holiness of God's will for my life." Now, that's the reality, that's the purpose that Jochebed lived by. And by the way, I think that's probably all of our mothers and fathers, at least heart, for their child. I believe that. But I want you to understand that if that's going to happen, that we're going to have to raise our children the Bible way. Now, I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. I want to read one verse tonight. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, "Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it." When I read that this week, I said, "Lord, if there's ever a verse that fits the life of Moses, that's it." Jochebed trained up her child in the way that he should go, and when he was old, he went that way. When he was old, he followed God. Hebrews 11, 24 through 26 tells us about just how he did that. Now tonight, I want to try to be an encouragement to you. I want to try to counsel you with a few things, and I want to give you 5 really simple things to put down to help you to protect your children from the world. Heavenly Father, I pray now that you'd please bless the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. I pray that you'd help us as parents to not arm ourselves necessarily, but Lord, certainly to be aware that there is a devil that's adamantly against everything good and everything godly in our home and the purpose of raising children. Lord, even at the sound of my voice, I know that, Lord, there are porters of hell that are reporting back to their captain that there is a church that's preaching against him tonight, but for the Lord Jesus. Lord, I'm aware that when we make commitments and decisions, especially when we're very vocal with them, I'm aware that, Lord, the laser dot of the devil is on our heads. Lord, he wants to destroy us. This week, there's going to be temptation. This week, there's going to be trial. This week, we can expect the wiles of the devil to be at play and trying to get us off of the mark wherewith we're pressing toward. So I pray that you'd give us amazing grace. I pray that tonight you'd give us clarity like never before. And I pray tonight that every family, Lord, not just the Orianas, and Lord, not just others that have recently dedicated their children, but Lord, all of us, would refocus our sights on the purpose of raising godly children. Give us wisdom, I pray. I pray that you'd help me, Lord, to be the dad that you've called me to be. Help me to sanctify my roles by the power of the Holy Spirit. And tonight, Lord, I have a role to play and to live in here. I have to preach, and I get the privilege of giving the sense of the Word of God and trying to encourage and provoke your people into love and good works. And Lord, I'll never be able to do that without you. So I surrender to you tonight, and I ask you to please help me to be emptied of anything self-sufficient or vain, that I could be filled with your Spirit alone. That you would just use me as your mouthpiece and preach through me your message. Lord, that you would prevent me from saying anything that would be a hindrance to your Holy Spirit or an offense to these that are here. Lord, I'm not thinking of anybody in mind except me tonight. I need to hear this. I need to live this. So would you please help me to be obedient, not only in this pulpit, but Lord, when I go home tonight in private, when I go out in public, I pray that you would help us all to live and please you in our lives. I pray this all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. As we spoke about this morning, we all recognize that our children need protection from the wickedness of the world. Jochebed had a pressing government that was trying to prevent her children from really living a life. We could say that society today, and in many ways even our own government, is pressing to prevent us from having godly children, from having a voice, certainly in society, and from pleasing the Lord in a vocal way. We understand then that there is a protection that comes along with the responsibility of being a parent. We as parents must be diligent then in the protection of our children from a couple of things, both the subtle snares of the devil and the outright attacks. I mean, some things are very overt, like we can look at them in the press, we can see them on television, we can look at people and look at couples and look at individuals and say, man, that person's just he's just bent, or you can just see the satanic either possession or oppression at the least, and how angry they are and focused on doing evil. Those would be the outright attacks of Satan, but there are the subtleties of Satan that the Bible says we cannot afford to be ignorant about. We've got to see, as I told somebody today, you know, the games, if you will, the tricks of Satan are not new. They're not. They're the same things that have been going on since the beginning of time. We just don't want to recognize them as that. And I think it's high time that we as parents decide, you know, I need to make sure that I'm on guard, that I'm watching out. By the way, my children are my responsibility. So I have a grave responsibility before God to say, Lord, I want to protect my children in the best way so that they can actually fulfill the will of God for their life. Now, I believe that we must redeem the time then of our lives, the time that we're living now, when our children are under our care, so that when they leave that care, they will not be carried away with every wind of doctrine, with every philosophical idea. They won't be soon removed from that path. If we'll do our job right, the promise of Proverbs 22:6 is that our children will go on and repeat the things that they have been taught. Now, I want you to know this. We live in the last days. How many believe that? This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. One of the reasons I believe that these last days are characterized by young people who are disobedient to parents is because of what the passage in 2 Timothy chapter 3 says in verse 5, and here's what it says. They have a form of godliness, but they've denied the power thereof. I believe that there are parents who have a form of godliness. They have an outward presence of at least appearing to want to do right, but they're actually denying the power that God would give them in order to raise godly children, and their children are turning out disobedient. Are we all okay? I honestly believe that. Else, why would we have disobedient children mentioned in the last days? The context is having a form of godliness. Christians, we could say parents, have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. The result is children who are disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. It's there in the book. Now, one of the reasons is because of parents. Now, the responsibility then of protecting our children from going the wrong way in life rests completely with us. The way we are to protect them from sin, from the wrong way, from the way which Satan would have them to travel, is to train them up in the way that God would want them to travel. Now, in your passage here in Proverbs 22:6, I want you to look at the word train. The word train means threefold, and I want you to get this. Maybe some of you can write fast enough to put this down by way of definition. The word train there has a three-level definition. First, it means to teach a behavior through regular instruction and practice. To teach a behavior through regular instruction and practice. How many understand that repetition is the key to learning? That's how all of our kids learn, is by listening, by watching, and doing the same things over and over and over and over again. That's one of the definitions. The Bible says here, then, by way of definition, train up a child. Instruct them repetitiously. Teach a behavior through the instruction, but not just the instruction, the practice. Okay, that's the first level. Second definition means to point or aim something at. Now think about that. Now, as we read earlier in Psalm 127, when Eric and Kelly were up here, the Bible says, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man. I want to point my children right at the will of God for their life. Right against the enemy in the gate. That's what I'm supposed to point them at. I'm also supposed to point them toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Isn't it interesting that it would mention that? But it goes beyond just teaching a behavior and training to point them at something. The third level here of train means to cause to grow into a particular shape. Did you know that the Lord doesn't just want you to look like Christ? He wants your children to turn out like Christ. He wants you to train them up. He wants you to be able to prune them around so that they will look like Jesus Christ. Now, it's interesting, but there's also a word here that I want you to notice. It says, train up a child in the way. The phrase in the way in the Hebrew literally is, listen, his way. His way. So it's not just a way, it's not just the way he should go, it's God's way. To train a child God's way. The Bible promises that if I will train, if I will point them to that mark, if I will shape them and the child in God's way, the way that he's supposed to go, the way that God intends, when he is old, he'll not depart from it. And I believe that all of you would love, I do not believe that anybody would go against this. I believe that every mom and dad in here would love to have your child grow up not just to be good boys and girls, but I believe that every parent in here would be very excited if your children grew up to be holy and to be godly and to be God-fearing and whose heart was a heart after God and after godly things. I don't think anybody would say, no, I don't want that for my kids. I don't want them to be holy. I don't want them to be God. Ah, that's too much. I can't handle it anymore. We're out of here. You guys are freaks. I don't think anybody here on Sunday night would be like that. Maybe on Sunday morning. But I don't think anybody here tonight would be vocal enough to say, I don't want that. I just want them to be good. I don't want them to be godly. I think everybody in here would say as a parent, no, I want my boys. I want my girls. I want all of my children to be more than just good. I want them to have a heart for God. But I want to remind you that left to themselves, without instruction, without practice, without being trained, without direction, without the example from a godly parent, they will never choose that lifestyle on their own. It's there in the book. You have to train them. They'll never wake up one day and say, I've always wanted to be godly. My aspiration in life is to be holy. That's never going to happen. Never going to happen. In fact, the Bible says that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Interesting. That's what's there naturally. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it from him. In fact, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child, listen, left to himself, bringeth his mother to help me. Shame. Now that's what happens when you leave them to themselves. Brother Gridley and Brother McCrossin know what happens to children when they're left to themselves. You guys arrest them every week. You see them in the jail. You confiscate their drugs. You deal with the loss when children are left to themselves. Now, if that's the case, then I want to protect my children. I want to do everything I can to train them up. If I'm trying to get them right, you can hedge your bet that the devil is trying to put them down. He's trying to break that mold. He doesn't want them to be even good, much less godly. He doesn't want them to be holy. So I'm then reminded about what I need to do as a father. And I know that if I need the reminder, that probably there's one or two in here that need it as well. So I want you to take your outline tonight, and I just want to give you some counsel on how to protect your children in a very practical way. And I know it's like a novel, okay? But I'm going to try to do my best to go very fast and very quick. Some of the verses I'm just going to list and go right on through. And I want to be informative. I think that this would be a message that you could take, that you could get the disc or download it, take the outline, put it in your Bible, and go back and say, Lord, teach me all over again. Help me to be reminded. I'm forever telling young couples, just don't quit. Like I said today, don't give up. Don't quit. You only have him for 18 years. Jochebed have him for 5 at the most, at the outset. And look what happened to him. He turned out to be the deliverer. He turned out to say no to sin and yes to the Savior, no to the world and no to all the world's excess. He could have had it all, but he chose God's way. Now, I want you to see that. If we're going to protect our children, how do we do that? Well, number one, moms and dads, I think you need to get together and you need to set boundaries. You need to set boundaries. Now, mom and dad, you need to really get on board together with this. The Bible says not to remove the ancient landmark, and I think you need to go to that landmark, the Word of God. By the way, God has vested authority into His institutions, and one of those is the family. And He has given you the authority, and He wants you to exercise that authority in a loving way. He wants you to be parents, okay? So, if you don't set boundaries, then your heart's going to be broken. That's what I'm just telling you now. If you don't set boundaries for your kids, your heart's going to be broken with how far sin is going to take your children. Notice the quote in your notes. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want or that you're willing to pay. Do your kids know that? Do they know that, or do you want them to experience that on their own? I don't think any parent is that dumb. I really don't. I think you may be misled. I think you may be tricked, but I don't think you're that dumb by birth. I think we need to be very aware that Satan is trying to say, hey, not that big of a deal. Don't worry about it. Oh, it's okay. It's just once. So let me give you a couple of things. First of all, when I think of setting boundaries, I think of two things, limitations, letter A, and prohibitions, letter B. Limitations. Let them know the difference between what you expect and what they expect. And just make sure they know that it is because you love them. By the way, this helps them understand the importance of temperance later in life. The Bible says there in Proverbs 6:20, my son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not the law of thy mother. Limitations. Listen, what kind of limitations do you have on the television? What kind of limitations do you have on the phone? What kind of limitations do you have on the entertainment, on the Xbox or whatever? I'm just simply saying, don't let them just do whatever they want as long as they want. That's just giving into themselves. Rather, set some limitations. Set some limitations with where they go. Set some limitations with who they're with. I'm just simply saying, if you just let them alone to themselves, you're going to bring shame to yourself. You need to let them know in a loving way, I'm the parent. I don't see this as pleasing to God. I don't see how this is going to help you grow up to be godly or holy or fulfill the will of God for your life. So I'm just letting you know that if you do this, you're not going to be able to do it for very long or whatever. Limitations. I want you, by the way, you should be praying, God, please give me wisdom on how to raise my kids. Please give me wisdom. Please give me and my husband. Listen, it's vital that you're on the same page. How many believe that? Vital. You've got to be together. A house divided cannot stand. You've got to be together. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Say, Pastor, we're not agreed. Come see me, And we'll see what the Bible says, and then we'll see if we can get you agreed. But the fact of the matter is, you got to be agreed. You got to be on the same page. Limitations. Letter B, prohibitions. I wrote this out for you so you can put it on your fridge, let your kids know how much you love them. Prohibitions. If it's immoral, thou shalt not. If it's illegal, thou shalt not. If it's indecent, thou shalt not. If it's ill-mannered, thou shalt not. If it's insensitive, if it's idolatrous, if it's irresponsible, impenitent, inferior, indignation, thou shalt not. If it's irreverent, thou shalt not. If it's injurious, thou shalt not. If it's insubordinate, thou shalt not. If it's iniquity, if it's irrespective of the word of God, thou shalt not. Look, you need to understand, if God said, thou shalt not, why shouldn't you? If you're the authority given to your parents, I'll help you later. For those of you that are going, is that what this whole message is going to be about? No. But you got to start somewhere. Your kids need to know what is prohibited. Let me ask you a question. What is prohibited? Now, here's the sad thing. I asked that question, and some of you are like, and you can't think of one prohibition. There's a problem there. You're just letting the devil walk right in the back door and take your kid's heart piece by piece by piece. And what are you going to be left with? Sad memories. You're going to be left with 18 years of, I wish I had. That's what you're going to be left with. By the way, you can ask some people, those memories are haunting. I wish I had. I wish I'd have done this. I wish I'd have said it better this way. I wish I'd have been more loving. I wish I'd have been more caring. I wish I'd have been more godly enough. Now I'm looking at what's left of it. Set boundaries and be sure that you keep them. Make sure that they keep them. By the way, grandmas and grandpas, help your children keep those boundaries for their kids. Help them. Help them keep their boundaries. One boy was trying to define to another boy that didn't have a grandma, and was trying to explain to him what a grandma was, and the one young man with the grandma said, a grandma is someone who comes to visit you and keeps your mama from spanking you. Grandmas and grandpas, don't be that kind of mom. Reinforce your kids and help them reach that goal. Set boundaries. Number two, give warnings. If you're going to set boundaries, then you're going to need to give warnings. Now look, if you're not going to have boundaries, you don't even need this message. You don't even need to give warnings. Why give a warning for there's no boundary? Unless you're trying to make it up along the way. Well, I just want to be their friend. I want to be their bud. I want to be liked. I want to be loved. No, you should want to be a loving parent. You're going to have to go the way that you want them to go if they're going to go the way God wants them to go. Give warnings. Let your children know that those boundaries are serious. Proverbs 1 and verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Can I say this? There ought to be, moms and dads, in your home, an awe for God. There ought to be a reverence for the Holy Spirit of God. There ought to be in your home a reverence for God in your family. And when you give warning, understand why you give warning and how you give warning. Notice the quote in your notes, the first one. Strictness does not ruin children. No kids have ever been ruined by strictness. But notice the last part. Harshness ruins children. That means that you can be strict and do it in the way that they're going to receive it. That means that you can give warning without being mean. Many times it's not strictness that caused someone to rebel or to revolt against their upbringing. It was the spirit in the home. It was a brutally mean dad. Or it was a mean-spirited and hateful mother who was always critical. I'm just simply saying, before you go off and say, oh, they're those fundamentalists again, and they're just always about the rod, and they're always about reproof, and they're always about correction. I'm not for identifying myself with someone that's stupid and someone that's irresponsible with the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God. But I am wanting to identify myself with the Word of God to the point where I want to give warning in such a way that it's not harsh, but it doesn't mean that it's not strict. Now, I want you to see the next quote. Rules without relationships breeds rebellion. You've heard me say that before. Rules without relationships. I'm not saying that you go in tonight and say, all right, bless God, everybody line up. There's the line. You cross that line, you're dead. Now, I love you, go to bed. That didn't even make sense. Bill Cosby used to say that his dad used to say, boy, I brought you into this world and I'll take you out. It doesn't make any difference to me because I'll make another one look just like you. You know. not saying that. That's irresponsible. And so I am saying, however, that you need to let your children know that there is a boundary in life and that there is a consequence if you cross over that boundary. And then listen, moms, especially moms, listen. Keep your word. If you say, this is what's going to happen, if you cross that line, don't be a liar. Thou shalt not lie. No lie. Don't lie, sir. Mom, don't lie. If you say, if you do that one more time, whatever comes out of your mouth, make sure that you understand they're listening. And they have great interpretive skills. Mom doesn't mean that. She said, pick it up right now because we're going to go. What that means is we ain't leaving for another 35 minutes. She said, to go in and clean up your room or else. I know what that means. That means that she don't give a care and she's never going to come in and check. All right? That is exactly the way they're going to act. So make sure that if you give them a warning, that you follow through on the warning. Now, here's a few things you need to warn your kids about. You need to warn them about the destruction of sin. Now, let me just say this. I'm not talking about to a 2-year-old or 4-year-old or even a 6 or 8 or 10-year-old. But I am saying somewhere between the ages of 10 and 18, you're going to need to sit down with your children at some point and you need to explain to them the destruction of sin. You need to warn them. You need to use verses like James 1 through 14 through 16. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. About the destruction of sin. Letter B, you need to warn them about the deceitfulness of Satan. The deceitfulness of Satan. You could say something like this. Austin, I want you to remember, the devil's a liar, son. And what you're experiencing right now, you listened to a lie. And you followed the lie rather than the truth. Teach them the deceitfulness of Satan. Teach them that he's an adversary. Letter C, teach them the dishonor of sinfulness. The dishonor of sinfulness. Proverbs 6 and verse 33, the Bible says, a wound and a dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. They need to experience the heaviness of sin. I remember certain times in my kids' life when I would go in and talk about the shame or the dishonor and the disappointment, and they felt the weight of it. Look, how many of you have sat in a church service and felt the Holy Spirit of God going, hey, I'm talking to you right now. I want you to understand. You have dishonored me. And you felt the load of conviction. Were you not turned to the cross? Were you not loaded down and said, Lord, I don't like this feeling. I don't want to be dishonored. I don't want to deal with the shame. I want to do that which is right. You know, you could warn your kids about that long before they experience it for themselves. Giving them warnings, not just about, hey, if you cross this line, but I'm talking about a moral lesson in life. Son, if you cross this line, sweetheart, if you cross this line, here's what's going to happen. By the way, that's real world. That's helping them see, Dad cares enough about me. Mom cares enough about me to give me a warning long before I get there. We need to set boundaries. We need to give warnings. Number three, we need to set an example. Mom and Dad, you need to live the life of Christ before your children every day. You need to live the life of Christ before your children every day. Who else are they going to learn it by? Seeing me once a week? Talking to me at the door? Are they going to grow up unto Him in all things by watching television? By playing video games? By looking at the world? Are they going to get it by them? No, they're going to get it by the priest people that they're with. When I called to remembrance, Paul said, the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also. Do you know what Paul's saying? He's saying, Timothy, I want you to know where you got your faith. You learned to be the godly young man that you are. You learned to have the heart for God that you have from your mama. And she got it from her grandmama. And they've been handing it down to you. What's interesting to me is that Dad and Grandpa's not mentioned there. That's interesting to me. By the way, Debbie, that'd be a good verse to any single mom that you run across and say, I just don't know if I can do it. I just don't know if I can. All I have is me. And maybe my mom has saved everybody else in my family. Well, let me take you to a young man that God used. And he used him to pastor one day. The fact of the matter is, where are they going to learn it by? We need to be setting the example. Don't be the parent that says to the kids, don't smoke while you're putting your cigarette in your ashtray. Don't be the one that's pouring out the alcohol after the party and say, now son, be very careful of the effects of alcohol. Mom and dad, you should be setting the example for your children. 1 Timothy chapter 4, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and in purity. Here's the example, letter A, in personal holiness. Moms, do you care how your daughter dresses? Dads, do you care what your sons are looking at? Do you care who they're hanging around? Do you care what they're listening to? Do you care about the spirit of the friends your children are hanging out with? Do you care about the motivation behind the movement? I'm just simply saying they need to see an example. I am not going to participate in this. I'm going to choose the affliction of God's people rather than take the pleasures of sin for a season. They've got to see that somewhere. Where are they going to see it? I care to believe, based on Scripture, that if they don't see it in us, they're not going to see it in us. Setting the example of personal holiness. So, letter B, setting the example of a pure love. A pure love. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let your kids see what godly love is like. 1 Corinthians 13. Bear all things, hope all things, believe all things, endure all things. Let them see that in you. By the way, you probably would like to have your daughter or your son portray that kind of love in their marriage one day, wouldn't you? I mean, after all, you are raising someone's mom and dad. You are raising somebody's husband or wife. That's what your responsibility is that you would raise them, train them up to be the husband in his way, to train the wife in his way, so that when they're old, they're not going to depart from it. And by the way, they'll hand it down to their children. Show them the pure love. Show them the personal holiness. Letter C, show them a peaceful spirit. A peaceful spirit. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. All of this our children need to see. Now look, I am totally aware that we're all wired differently. I'm totally aware that our emotions at any given day could be all over the place. But I'm also aware that the Holy Spirit of God, if you're born again, lives inside of you. And though your emotions may change from day to day, the great part about the Holy Spirit is that He never changes. And God's grace never changes. And His grace is always sufficient. Let them see. Yeah, you might get a little up here, a little down there. But what I'm simply saying is let them see you exhibiting the peace that passes all understanding when you let the Holy Spirit of God arrest you. Let them see a peaceful spirit. Letter D, let them see and witness the example of a pleasing faith. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Now, sometimes, I've always wanted to do this. I've never had the guts to really do it. I've wanted to put all of the parents in children's church. Bring all the children in here. I've wanted to ask them, what kind of example are your parents setting for you? Whoops. Pretty scary, huh, Mike? That'd be brutal. Yeah. I would say that I wouldn't want my children to say what really happens sometimes to dad. I mean, that's coming from the pastor. By the way, I'm not perfect. That's why my kids aren't perfect. So, the reality check is I'm accountable for the example that I'm setting. Ask some of these ladies and gentlemen who don't have their kids anymore with them. Ask them if they would do the same things over again that they did. Probably everybody in here, if we had an opportunity to do some things over, we'd change a little bit. I know I would. But the great part about it is, if we have kids at home tonight, we could start all over again. We could say, God helping me, I recognize the direction I'm going is not led of the Spirit. I'm doing this, and we're doing this, and where's the example? Who's setting the example in our home? Where's the example of personal holiness? Where's the example of a pleasing faith and a peaceful spirit and a pure love? I'm just saying, We need to set boundaries. If we're going to protect our kids, they need to know where those boundaries are. We need to give them warnings and say, listen, I'm not just saying this to be a dictator. I'm saying there are consequences to going beyond this, because when you get out in the world and God says no, you better stop. You better know there's a reason, a vastly wise reason behind why God says, don't take the pleasures of sin for a season. Rather, choose the afflictions to identify with God's people. Many of you adults know that now by experience. We need to set an example. Number four, we need to be careful to be wise to that which is good. Romans 16:19. Do you have that in your notes? For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I'm glad, therefore, on your behalf. Watch. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good, and simple concerning that which is evil. Now, somewhere down the lines, parents have bought into the lie that of Satan that says kids just need to test out certain things. They just need to be allowed to test out certain things. You don't buy a car unless you kick the tires, unless you take it for a test drive. But the Bible says in Romans that we should be wise concerning that which is good and simple concerning that of those things that are evil. Having my oldest daughter and following up with two boys, I've been so thankful that each of them have been simple. You could use the word naive or removed from to knowing the things that are evil. I was thankful for that. Explaining to them how the opposite sex sees things and how the unsaved man thinks, and they would be like, really? I didn't know that. That's what guys thought, or I didn't know that that's what this, and I'm thankful that they weren't like, oh yeah, I knew that, and I don't care. I'm thankful that they were like, wow, I didn't know that. I'm thankful they were naive to the things of the world, that they were naive to the advances, or naive to different things, and we could explain those things, and then they could say, oh, then now I know how to avoid that. You know, Mom, there's a reason that you should be training your children to dress modestly. There really is. There's a reason that maybe you don't understand. But if you have a husband, he knows why. He'll be able to help you. I'm thankful for a godly example of modesty in my home. And I'm thankful for a wife that champions morality in my home. I'm thankful that she cares about what her boys look at and what her husband looks at, by the way. I'm thankful for that. It's encouraging to me. You say, you let her tell you to turn the channel? Yeah. You let her take the remote control? Yes. Do I love the buttons? I ain't gonna lie. I'm a button addict. I'm a freak with the fast forward and the rewind. But the fact of the matter is, the bottom line is, I'm thankful that my wife is looking out for me and for my children. Are you? Are you looking out for them? Are you just letting them do whatever they want to do? They need to experience it on their own. Mom and Dad, make your children wise to the will of God. They don't need to try any of it out to know how bad it is, really. The sad thing is, some of you probably read a few too many chapters of Dr. Spock. And you've thought that your kids need to try some evil or get close to it in order to sense it. They don't need to try that out to see how bad it is. They need to be very simple. Make your children wise to the will of God. Make them wise to the house of God. Make them wise to the Word of God. And when the counterfeit comes along, they won't be swayed. Somebody asked a banker and said, how do you train your tellers to know what the counterfeit is? They said, oh, that's easy. We just never let them handle anything but the real deal. Then when the counterfeit comes, they know immediately, that's not real money. Did you know your children don't need to handle sin? They don't need to, let's just go into it. Letter A, they don't need to experiment. They don't need to experiment. You need to protect their innocence. Don't fall into this, look, if your daughter is going to be married to a young man for the rest of her life, wouldn't it be great to present her at the altar with her, to her future husband in the face and be able to say she has been untouched and she has saved herself just for you? She is unused. There is not one tenth of 1 mile. There's not been one lip, not one handhold, not one arm somewhere. She's yours, and she has saved herself for you. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't it be something? No. They need to experience this. Can I get an amen? Amen? My daughter always goes, "Dad, how in the world do you do that?" So I don't know. I think I have a hole in my head. They don't need to experience what it's. They don't need to know what puppy love is. I said they don't need to know what puppy love is. They need to know what God's love is like. They need to know that if this is the look, the only reason you need to date is to mate. The only reason you need to date is to find a mate. Don't experiment. Don't let your children experiment. Can you give me, someone please stand up in this building and give me a Bible reason why you need to have your child and your her arms or his arms around somebody else before they get married. Please somebody give me a Bible reason. Brother Dahl, do you know one? No? You ain't even listening to me, are you? You're still trying to think of where you ate dinner tonight, aren't you? Can somebody please tell me? Then why are we doing it? Look, the fact of the matter is, my children are going to be in somebody else's arms forever. I don't want them to have a used product. I want them to have innocence. Why? Because there's something better planned for them. So he said, that big of a deal? Yes, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. That's a Bible principle. Wow, why are you going to be so hard? I don't know about you, I just take Satan pretty seriously. And I take my kids pretty seriously. And I don't really care what the world says. I do care what God says, however. I'm okay being on God's side. I'm okay fighting the system. I'm okay. Hey, I'm okay saying I don't really care about what everybody else does. I want to do what God wants me to do. You can call me crazy. You can live this church. But my kids are going to stand before God with a dad that did everything he could to keep them right before his throne. You can do what you want, friend, but I'm going to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. And not because I'm any better. I'm just wise enough to know that I've made wrong decisions and I don't want my kids to reap that same thing. Now, you can decide. I'm either going to let them experiment or let her be. I'm going to expedite some things. Don't expedite. Promote a godly lifestyle. I heard of a grandma one time who was trying to explain to her grandsons and girls that girls aren't all that bad. And now, boys, don't be so mean to little girls. Someday you're going to like them. And so two of her grandsons were in the park playing, and the really pretty girl walked by, and one grandson said to his cousin, "When I stop hating girls, that's the one I'm going to stop hating first." They'll figure all that out on their own. You don't have to push them that way. Now go on, have your little relationship, have fun. Can I ask you a question? What wisdom is in that? What wisdom is that? Test those hormones out. Look at all of that skin. Go on out with that crowd. For the life of me, I can't figure out that. Don't expedite. Letter C, don't edify sin. Don't edify a godly past. Well, this is what we did. Did you know whenever I bring up my past to my kids, it's always in the negative light. Whenever I bring up the past, it's always, don't ever make the same mistake. Please, for the love of your children, for the love of your marriage, don't do the same thing I did. I was stupid. I've had that conversation with my sons. I've said to them, "You are just like me. And I know what I did. I know what I thought. I know what I said." Please, for the love of God and your mom and dad, don't make that same mistake. Please don't do that. Please listen to a man that has regrets. Please listen to a man that doesn't want you to go through the same problems. The Bible says if you do that, that is, if you glory and edify sin, your glorying is not good. By the way, know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Set boundaries, moms and dads. Give warning. Set an example. Be wise to that which is good. Simple to that which is evil. Number 5, just teach the word of God. Someone has got to teach the Word of God. They need to know there are 10 commandments, not 10 suggestions. They need to know that. Do you have Psalm 78:3 there? It's a great passage. Which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. Let me give you several ways here real quick about teaching the Word of God. Letter A, you need to instruct them. As Christians, we must put the Bible, watch, over the culture that we live in and say, I will not allow the culture to dictate my life or my decisions. I'm going to let the Bible dictate that. I'm going to let the Bible be our filter. I'm going to let the Bible be our star. I'm going to let the Bible, son, be the principal thing. I'm going to let wisdom guide this home. Let the Bible dictate practice or principle. Letter B, don't just instruct, illuminate. Give the sense. Nehemiah 8:8, and he gave the sense and caused their understanding to the reading. Explain to them, look, here's a Bible principle. This is what it means. This is what it means to me. This is how God spoke to me today in my devotions. I hope that you're past that in your life. I hope that you can have a spiritual conversation with your children. I hope it's not always around vain things. I hope that sometimes you can have a balanced conversation with Bible principle or preaching or soul winning or something that God's doing in your heart. Instruct, illuminate, letter C, include. I have Romans 5:6 and 5:8 there. I love how Paul always says we. We have no... I love how he includes himself. Don't be the Pharisee that says, sons, daughters, this is what you need to do, and never include yourself in the instruction. But rather say, this is what we need to do. If you look at Isaiah, you look at Daniel, you look at Jeremiah, you look at David, they confessed national sin as being their own. We have offended thee. We are in iniquity. Our transgressions. They've all included themselves. And letter D, inspire your kids. Now, not in the sense of the Holy Spirit inspired the Word of God, but you can inspire them to do the things that please God. Are you, if you're going to have an encouraging family, are you creating an environment of acceptance? Because acceptance is the optimum environment for change. And if you allow yourself to accept your kids as fallible, but you're going to love them and train them up in the way, His way that they should go, then what you're saying to them is, listen, I want to inspire you to follow me and to do what God wants you to do. Notice what Paul said to the Philippian church. Those things which you have heard, both learned and received, and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, let me say this and then we're done. Your children are leaving your home in 18 years or less. Jochebed, as I said, had 5. Mom and dad, don't come to the place when you start having an accommodating theology. Now, be very careful that you listen to me. That is where you begin to accommodate your belief system for where your kids are. In other words, Justin and Alicia, now that Haley and Titus are their ages, this is the way you believe. And then, 10 years from now, you change your convictions, not based on principle, but you've changed your convictions on culture and the environment. There's a great example of that in this room tonight. It's Melinda's mom. Melinda's mom's been a mom for a long time. A really long time. You know the great part about her and her husband, Jerry, is they've never changed. They never have. They have been the same as they were yesterday, and they were today, and that's why they have godly girls. Now, if that doesn't encourage you, that there is hope, that you could take children, birth them in a society, that is evil all around, surrounding and attacking the home. The devil wants to destroy them and have girls like Deanna and Melinda? Are you kidding me? That inspires me. That helps me. I don't want to accommodate my theology because Preston is a freshman in college and Austin is going to be a senior and Jenna's 10 and Braden's 2. What kind of a hypocrite would I be? Why would I change what I believe? Why would I change my practice just because my kids are getting older? When here just 13 years ago when I came, man, this is where we need to be. God is moving in our home. I can't wait. I'm championing the Word of God in our home. The Bible doesn't change, friend. It never changes. And if right now it's pricking you, I hope that you make the right change, because the Bible is not going to. Be strong. Be true. Even if your kids struggle with the decisions that you're making for them, just remember, if you train them up in an environment of acceptance, of love, and of wisdom according to God's word, it will pay off. They're going to rise up. They're going to call you blessed. You're going to stand at the feet of Jesus Christ, and he's going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I trusted you with those kids, and you stewarded them by my grace and by my word. I'm going to bless you for that. Thank you for raising those children." Is their faith going to be strong enough to keep them out of the world and in the will of God? Because Moses was, with just 5 short years. Moms and dads, protect your kids. It'll mean the world to them later, especially when they're trying to do the same for theirs. They'll call you up, Sandy, and say, "Thanks, Mom." Debbie, they'll call you up and say, "Thanks." They will. Lucy, God blesses your boys with good girls and they have kids. They'll call you up, Steve, and say, "Mom and Dad, I'm so thankful you got saved. I'm so thankful you never wavered. I'm so thankful that you helped us, and now we're trying to help our kids." Wouldn't that be a great day? One day, Scott, that's what's going to happen to Trevor and Melina. It's going to happen. This is the result of training up a child in the way that he should go. Why? Because when he's old, he won't depart. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the truth of God's word.